But Susanna paused a moment longer.
"I've dreamed of the other one," she said. There was no need for her to say of whom she was speaking. "Three nights in a row, scuttering along our back trail. Do you think he's really there?"
"Oh, yes," Roland said. "And I think he's got an empty belly."
"Hungry. Mordred's a hungry," she said, for she had also heard these words in her dream.
Susanna shivered again. 7. The path they walked widened, and that afternoon the first scabby plates of pavement began to show on its surface. It widened further still, and not long before dark they came to a place where another path, which had surely been a road in the long ago, joined it. Here stood a rusty rod that had probably supported a street sign, although there was nothing atop it now. The next day they came to the first building on this side of Fedic, a slumped wreck with an overturned sign on the remains of the porch. There was a flattened barn out back. With Roland's help, Susanna turned the sign over, and they could make out one word, livery. Below it was the red eye they had come to know so well. "I think the track we've been following was once a coach road between Castle Discordia and Le Casroy Roos," he said. "It makes sense." They began to pass more buildings, more intersecting roads. It was the outskirts of a town or village, perhaps even a city that had once spread around the Crimson King's castle. But unlike Lud, there was very little of it left. Sprigs of devil grass grew in listless clumps around the remains of some of the buildings, but nothing else alive. And the cold clamped down harder than ever. On their fourth night after seeing the rooks, they tried camping in the remains of a building that was still standing, but both of them heard whispering voices in the shadows.